Welcome to the Dyad Presents, a video game music podcast. I'm the Dyad, and this is GoldenEye 007. Is the main theme from Nintendo 64's GoldenEye. This is, after all, episode 007. And a shout out to Connor for suggesting this theme. I thought it was very apt. I'll be playing tracks from James Bond or James Bond related games for your enjoyment. The full title of this game, although I don't know anyone who calls it anything other than GoldenEye or sometimes GoldenEye 64, is actually GoldenEye 007. The game is a first-person shooter developed by Rare and based on the 1995 James Bond film. The game itself was released in 1997. The soundtrack was composed by the British trio of Graham Norgate, Grant Kirkhope, and Robin Beanland. The three worked on a number of Rare titles throughout the years, as Rare is a British game company. That makes sense. I'm fairly certain anyone listening to this show is familiar with the game. It sold 8 million copies worldwide, and it makes it the third most selling N64 game ever. If you're roughly the same age as I am, then you encountered this in friends' basements or college dorm rooms. It really sparked the console multiplayer revolution, pre-internet of course. In fact, it basically shaped the way first-person shooters are designed for consoles. GoldenEye was in development for about 2.5 years. But what's even more impressive is that 8 of the 10 developers for this game, yes, only 10 people worked on it, had no prior experience in the industry. As a fun comparison, the top-selling PlayStation 4 game is Uncharted 4: A Thief's End. It sold 8.7 million copies. The next most popular game is Horizon Zero Dawn at 2.6 million. Uncharted began development in 2011 and was released in 2016. That means it took dozens of people twice the time to achieve roughly the same success. Obviously, I'm comparing apples to oranges, but I think it's really interesting to reframe some of these older games to really appreciate their achievements. GoldenEye was the first James Bond movie to come out since 1989, and it was the first one to star Pierce Brosnan. The movie was released in 1995, but Brosnan was actually in line to play Bond much earlier. He met the James Bond producer Albert R. Broccoli on the set of For Your Eyes Only, and Broccoli reportedly said that Brosnan was his choice to inherit the role from Roger Moore. At the time, Brosnan was starring on the NBC TV show Remington Steele. In 1987, NBC canceled the show, paving the way for Brosnan to become the next Bond. Or so they thought. As an unintended side effect, the publicity from the announcement revived interest in Remington Steele, and after only 2 months, the producers of the show were able to force Brosnan to stay under contract for another season. In a nice screw you to Brosnan, the final abbreviated season consisted of only 6 hours of made-for-TV films broadcast in early 1987. Brosnan declined the part in the movie, and the world was treated to Timothy Dalton. Many critics list Dalton amongst the top 50 actors to portray James Bond. Next up, from the game Operation Stealth, composed by Jean Badelot from the Amiga. This is BGM 10. Operation Stealth is a point-and-click adventure game from Delphine Software International, released in 1990. Originally, the game's protagonist was a generic spy, but the game swapped in the name James Bond and it was renamed for North America as James Bond 007, The Stealth Affair. The cover art for Operation Stealth couldn't be less Bond-like, a blonde surfer dude with a starry intergalactic shirt. Somewhat relatedly, I thought this song was pretty incongruous with the James Bond feel. I mean, I like it, but I can't picture Sean Connery ordering something shaken and not stirred to this. Maybe crying into a beer. Operation Stealth wasn't the first game to try to capitalize on the popularity of the James Bond franchise. There have been a large number of James Bond video games starting all the way back in 1982. The first official game was called Shaken, but Not Stirred, and was released by Richard Shepherd Software for the ZX Spectrum. I hope if there's any British listeners out there, you appreciate that I called it the ZX Spectrum and not the ZX Spectrum. As a matter of fact, there's actually been more James Bond video games than there have been movies. Some of you may be familiar with the James Bond Jr. TV series. The NES era saw licensed games come out on both the NES and SNES. I wanted to play something from one of those titles to spend a little bit more time talking about the TV show. Not because I have fond memories of it, but because I think it's sort of interesting. But I've already played my favorite track from the NES game, which in fact was the first song I ever played on the show. And while I owned and enjoyed the Super Nintendo game, the soundtrack is kind of bad. I think the instruments they use are just really unpleasant. And so it wasn't worth it to try and shoehorn either of those games' soundtracks into this episode. But there you have it. I'm going to stick with the Amiga for a second and actually include a bonus track. I usually try to avoid doubling up on a system if I can help it, but this track is kind of hilarious and must be played. It's a total time capsule. From the game The Spy Who Loved Me, composed by Matt Furness, this is the main theme. This out.
We'll be right back. up.
Aw yeah, hit it. Matt Furness is really embodying 1990 with this track, which is the year the game was released. But it's actually based on the 1977 movie of the same name. The game is a top-down shooter where the player drives a modified Lotus. I believe the model of the car is an Esprit. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, though. I tried to avoid playing a bunch of songs that simply twist the familiar James Bond theme, so this is the last time you're going to hear it in this episode. But can you blame me for cramming this track in? It's pretty great. Up next is something slightly different. From the Super Nintendo, composed by Richard Joseph from the game James Pond 2, codename Robocod. This is Codename Robocod. As with any notable intellectual property, there will be imitators and, in this case, parodies. There are a slew of Bond parody games out there, but the most well-recognized is probably James Pond. Pond is an anthropomorphic fish who is a secret agent, number Double Bubble 7, of the organization FI5H, and has a license to grill. Between groan-worthy puns, James Pond is a puzzle platformer. Codename Robocod is the second in the series, and there have been four games in total if you count the mobile phone exclusive in 2011. There was also a spin-off sports game. An attempted Kickstarter was launched in 2013 trying to revitalize the franchise, but it was canceled when it became clear that the funding goals weren't going to be met. And speaking of bad puns, A common theme in most of these parodic games is wordplay, often combined with toilet humor, usually awfully. For example, Operation Thunder Bowel was a game released in 1988 by Sacred Scroll Software. It's a text-based adventure game featuring Seamus Bond going against Blowbum, who is attempting to poison the UN with a powerful laxative. Don't get me wrong, I'm not above a fart joke, but that sounds really miserable. Let's get out of negative town. And what better way to do that than with a new console debut? This track comes from the game Live and Let Die, composed by Mark Cooksey from the Atari ST. This is the main theme. Oldest game on the show today, coming out in 1988. Live and Let Die is another game based directly on the movie of the same name. Well, loosely based on the movie anyway. It's another rebranded game piggybacking on James Bond. Live and Let Die is a speedboat racing game originally called Aqua Blast. Because of the famous speedboat racing scene in the movie, Domark decided to make the switch. This brings me to my last track of the show, and I've saved the best for last. Doing this show has led me to discover some pretty awesome soundtracks that I wasn't previously familiar with, and this one is a doozy. It was extremely hard to narrow down the track I wanted to play. From the Sega Genesis, the game is James Bond 007, The Duel. It's an action platformer released in 1993, and it's frequently compared to Rolling Thunder, although much less favorably. Also, this game is also published by Domark. I guess they love James Bond. The game borrowed the likeness of Timothy Dalton. The game was released 4 years after Dalton's last Bond role, A License to Kill, so this is technically Dalton's last Bond appearance. He would go on to have a storied career, starring in projects like the TV miniseries Scarlet, the sequel to Gone with the Wind. I've been poking fun at Dalton because he's my least favorite Bond, but he actually has gone on to have some great film and TV roles. For example, I thought he was excellent in the Simon Pegg movie Hot Fuzz, and I've also read that he's great in his recent role in the Showtime series Penny Dreadful. Anyway, before I go, as always, special thanks to Alan Euler, aka Periodical, for editing and mixing the episode. You can follow the show at thedyadpresents.blogspot.com, and you could subscribe via your favorite podcatcher. And don't forget to rate the show on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at thedyad, and you can email me at thedyadpresents@gmail.com. There's also a Facebook page. You can search for it by the name of the podcast or by @thedyad. Until next time, making a composer double appearance this episode, from Matt Furness, from the game James Bond 007, The Duel, for the Sega Genesis, this is Caveman Rock.